Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips, just last night before bed, was getting ready for bed, and this felt like this came up on the inside of me, where God was speaking to me about the fruit of our lips. And it reminded me, I've got a section in my book, The Eighth Date, where we talk about the importance of the fruit of our lips. The Bible tells us over and over in the book of Proverbs that from the fruit of our lips we'll be satisfied with good things, that the tongue has the power of life and death. The words that we speak are very powerful. And lately we've been talking about what we call the praise cure. We gave this example of one basket full of the issues and problems and testings and trials of life, another basket full of our praises. And think of those two baskets on a scale or on a balance. Which one is filled up more? Filling that basket with praises. From the fruit of our lips, we're satisfied with good things. So we're going to be taking communion with over this today, asking God to give us wisdom and insight and understanding into this principle and how powerful it is, but also asking for his help to help us walk in this, to fill up that praise bucket consistently, to walk in this consistently in our lives. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, doing things my own way. But life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. Was stressed out all the time, had the weight and pressure of life on me. At the time, I'm running my personal training business, and my business started out great, but got to some tough times where the business is very up and down. Got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars in a month. And I remember going for a walk around the neighborhood with my wife and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. It wasn't for a lack of seeking or searching, because I've been traveling all over the country, studying with the best health and fitness experts. I've been taking courses, reading books, going to seminars. At one point in my life, I probably read a book a week for something like 15 years, probably. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. I was reading the wrong book. I wasn't reading the one book that could really change my life. Then one day I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two, and then you keep going like that until the end of the month. Then you start back over again. After a while of doing this, I came across Proverbs 13:22 one morning. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing we could pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to create manuals, lessons, systems, training for all the different areas of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finances. But when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek after God. I began to immerse myself just totally in the things of God. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to show up, began to teach me and train me. I just simply began to document what he was taking me through. It wasn't always easy all the time. I had to do a lot of unlearning of things that I had learned in the past, break free of some old patterns. I got put in some impossible looking situations at times, only to see God just show up over and over. He just began to teach me this new way to live. We make him the source of everything. We put him in the center of everything. And just documenting what he was taking me through, it turned into this whole program we call the Abundant Life Blueprint, with a series of books and courses and now partners. But out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, I believe the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn the tables, change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's an opportunity to remember his sacrifice and our covenant with God. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation. of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence for God and for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he suffered for us. But on the other side, we remember all that his sacrifice did for us, how it connects us back to God, gives us this personal relationship with God. So the process we typically use, we start with about a two-minute-long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick, and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to make us healthy and strong and give us long life in the positive, if we take it the right way. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips. Today's will be a little bit different. But I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise and to apply our faith. So let's get started with our prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes. Expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today. And help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We're going to take this relationship with God that we have, and we're going to bring it down into today. We're just going to impact everything that we do today. Put him right in the center of it, connected to him. And masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. That's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some fun into them today. But before we go through our fundamentals, let's remember God's got a process. When he took the people from Egypt into the promised land, there was a process they had to go through. First, they're released out of darkness. They're transferred into the light. Then they got to go through the wilderness. And God gives them this glimpse of something better for their life, these promises that he had, this inheritance that he has for their life. But it's up to them. They get to decide whether they're going to believe him or they're just going to try to go back to the way things used to be. It just takes simply believing he's got something better for our lives. And we look at what he can do, that he can bring us into it, not what we can do in our own strength. And then we begin to cross over. We begin to take that first step. That first step of faith, willing to move forward. And we got to learn to embrace this new way of living where we put off our old ways and learn to do things in God's way. Learning to rest and to trust and to rely on him. For him to do the work, for him to beautify us. It doesn't mean we're doing nothing. It just means we're doing the work connected to God, with him being the source of it. as we inherit these promises that he's made for us in our life. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Every day we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to humble yourself like this little child. Just simple, childlike faith and belief, humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. We're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to forgive other people. We're going to walk in forgiveness. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrong. Delighting in the truth. Always hoping. Always trusting. Always persevering. Because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. We've been talking a lot about gratitude and praise. Filling up that bucket of praise, that basket of praise, the fruit of our lips. It's one of the easiest ways to maintain our positioning all day long. And being in position is a big deal because it puts us in position to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback throws the pass, but the receiver runs in the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. When we take our position in the light, we have access to everything God put in Christ, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom. There's health and energy, purpose and grace, fellowship with God and people. There's time, there's resources, there's finances. It's all available in Christ. And we have to learn how to get in position to receive this and then how to get it flowing through us out into the world, but we see the fruit of it. And one of the ways that fruit shows up is the fruit of our lips. So first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. We're going to turn up the brightness of this light, and it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. We have hearts that understand God's grace. We become more consistent and immovable in this. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. And I want you to think about those two baskets again. One basket full of all the issues and problems. One basket full of our praise. Which one are we going to fill up more? Which one are we going to focus on more? Which one are we going to meditate on and roll over in our mind to be consistently speaking about it? So to magnify the light, pick one of these things, pick all of them, whatever. We can magnify God's word. Just be praising him for his word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, that nothing's impossible for him, for our righteousness in Christ, all the good things that he put within us, all the things that are going well, all that he's already done in our lives, because what he started, he's going to finish. And just stay focused on these things. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing to put our focus on God. We're going to cast those cares over onto him. We're going to magnify him as bigger because we trust that he can solve those problems a whole lot better than we can. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, magnifying the issues and problems. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're out of position or magnifying the wrong things, there might be a tendency to retaliate at people or snap at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And on the inside, you feel this heaviness and weight and pressure. It's one of the biggest symptoms. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck. It's never going to change. Low energy is another big symptom because all that weight and pressure just drains the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're toiling away in our mind. We're dreading things in the future. And unfortunately, this can become a habit where you get stuck in these vicious cycles, these loops where it just keeps repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. There's this connection with God. And when we rest, God goes to work. And everything is free and easy and effortless. His peace and joy and love and energy and mind and wisdom, health, purpose, fellowship with him, connection, it all just begins to flow. The pressure comes off. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around, get back in position again. I think it's learning to recognize it quickly and to turn it back around. How do we do it? I think it starts with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We forgive ourselves. We receive that forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. And then we just start magnifying Him, start praising Him and thanking Him. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at me today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me tap into it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level today. You go through that simple process, that weight just lifts off of you and everything begins to flow again. Then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us. We got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately we've talked about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These are just short phrases, maybe one word, a short statement that we keep rewriting in our journal every day as a way to reinforce God's standards for our life. These filters serve as navigation tools to help us navigate throughout the day, to keep things top of mind. As an example, you might write something like this: God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. That short phrase just helps to navigate us when we face issues and problems, people wrong us, whatever it may be. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position and to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question: God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen and reflect on the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. And then we're going to stay tuned in throughout the day because He's trying to navigate us throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down. Take a couple of deep breaths. Get aware of His presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up or powered up in Him. And then our fourth fundamental. We got to do what we know to do today. The final thing I like to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And the grace was not there. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. There were things that I knew to do, but there was just reasons to put it off for whatever reason. And I would get behind Him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on the Christmas morning because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth sets the tone for the whole day. And as I began to learn about this, I began to seek God, what's the best thing for us to say? And I felt like He was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1, the very first words we see God speak. Let there be light. So I began to start my days this way, very first thing in the morning, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And then we just get right into praising Him and thanking Him right after that, the fruit of our lips, filled with praise. And then we start walking out that plan together with God today, connected to Him, full confidence that He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, His grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's talk about the fruit of our lips. Last night I was getting ready for bed and just felt like God started speaking to me about the fruit of our lips. And I was reminded of this passage I have in my book, The Eighth Day, on the fruit of our lips. Here's what it says here. When we finally learn to rest in our imaginations, this will dramatically change our emotions, words, and actions. The fruit that God is looking for begins in our hearts as a seed, then expresses itself as peace and joy in our emotions, and shows up as the fruit of our lips, lips that are full of praise, gratitude, and grace in all circumstances. In the kingdom of heaven, words carry tremendous power because they reveal what's in our hearts. God created the world with words, and words carry creative power. We must believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths to produce fruit. Consider the following verses. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they're satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. Proverbs 15, 4, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 13, 22, from the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things. Hebrews 13, 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer. Notice, continually offer. Let's fill up that basket of praise to God, a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. This is a theme all throughout the Bible, the fruit of our lips. It's how we're filled with good things. Notice, it creates a harvest. With the harvest of their lips, it's a tree of life. It's how we enjoy good things. We're supposed to be continually offering to God a sacrifice of praise. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for these scriptures that you give us to guide us throughout life. And we're asking for your help with this today. To help us to continually offer this sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, the name of Jesus. Help us to understand how the fruit of our lips is what fills us with good things. And the power of our words. We're asking for your help with that. And we're asking for your help to just have the fruit of our lips be pleasing to you and just be growing in this, producing more and more fruit from this point on in our lives. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take a moment to remember. God didn't have to send Jesus. Out of his great love, he chose to send his one and only son. He could have left us on our own, separated from him forever. Jesus is willing to come and humble himself, even unto death on a cross. Not for his own sins, but for us. To be rejected and betrayed, hit, spit on, mocked, ridiculed, beaten, whipped, nailed to a cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. His body was destroyed by God. He became sin for us. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And now that same spirit that raised him from the dead, that same victorious power lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God, makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight, all through his one sacrifice. So, Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And it's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. Can have this personal relationship with God, this covenant relationship with him. It's a blood-sworn oath God has made, a commitment to us. To do continually good for us, to be with us and for us. So, Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some practical application. This is not just health, but all the areas. So something I noticed years ago when God began to teach me about the power of my words, the fruit of my lips, I began to notice as I was working in my gym business, the way that people often talk about their health, especially people that have struggled with their health. You listen to them talk about their health. Oh, I could never eat that. I could never do that exercise. If I eat a carbohydrate, I just gain weight instantly. All these things that people are talking about, start to pay attention to the fruit of your lips, especially in the area of health. And then you can apply that to other areas of your life as well, to your relationships, to your finances, to your purpose, to relationship with God. Pay attention to the fruit of your lips. Start to pay attention to it in your health. Are the words you're speaking, are they really want them to be true? If not, let's begin to change and begin to praise God rather than complaining about our health. Let's start to praise God. Let's begin to fill up that basket of praise in the area of our health. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.